Well, good day, everybody, and welcome to a very special Easter Sunday edition of the Panic Podcast. That's right, it's not Monday, it is Easter, and I guess by now, as I'm recording this, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Easter Sunday, and I'm assuming you've all been to church, you've had your Easter services, Easter Mass, whatever the case may be. I hope you're up to one more message about Easter. The most significant event in the history of anything. I thought I'd talk to you for a few minutes about how the resurrection speaks to us. But are you listening to what the resurrection is saying? Again, you've probably all read Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, the story of the empty tomb. And of course, the climax of that reading is Matthew 28 verse 6, where the angels say, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Imagine for a moment you're hiking through a dense forest. You know, the kind where if you stand still, and as the wind blows through the trees, it seems almost like they're speaking to you. And all of a sudden, your phone buzzes. It's an urgent alert. Breaks the silence. It's a message that could change everything. Before you even look at the phone, you're thinking about a loved one is in need. It's got to be bad news. What if it's good news? What if it's a job offer? But what if you ignore it? What if the rustle of leaves drowns it out, or you're simply just not even paying attention? Well, that's the tragedy of missed signals in life. And on this glorious Easter Sunday, we are confronted with the most profound message ever sent, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not a faint echo. It is a thunderous declaration from heaven itself. That empty tomb, it's not silent. It's literally shouting at us. The resurrection is speaking to us today, but are we listening? I want to explore, four life-transforming truths from the resurrection story. Now, these are not abstract ideas. They are firmly grounded in the unchanging Word of God. So let's lean in and listen to what the resurrection has to say to us. Obviously, first and foremost, the resurrection speaks of a living Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a historical event. It really is the bold proclamation that Jesus Christ is alive and he is reigning right now. Now, just think about this. Every other religious leader you can think of, Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, they're all dead. But Jesus, his tomb is empty. The words of the angel echo down the corridors of time. He is not here. He has risen. Can you just picture the scene on that first Easter Sunday morning? The stone rolled away, the burial cloths folded neatly as if to say, "I'm done. I'm done with death. I've conquered it." Listen, the living Lord is not a distant deity. He is totally involved in the lives of his people. The post-resurrection appearances prove this to be true. In Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 43, the risen Jesus appears to his disciples, who are terrified. They think they've seen a ghost, and yet he invites them to touch his hands and his feet. Even eating broiled fish to prove that he is a real person alive. In John chapter 20, verse 27, we read his conversation with doubting Thomas. He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. The resurrection literally transformed skeptics into worshipers because it revealed a Savior who is alive and who is concerned about his people. What this means to us today, over two millennia on, is this. If Jesus has indeed risen from the dead, then his promises are active. The risen Lord said this in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Please notice the obvious. It is Jesus that holds the keys to death and Hades, not Satan. There are no longer any locked doors in life. Addiction, grief, failure, depression, anxiety, fear, anger, the living Lord unlocks them all and releases freedom. I've seen the same story repeated time and time again. A person in deep depression after losing his job, who encounters the risen Jesus through prayer, suddenly finds a new purpose. A woman battling illness, who drew divine strength from her, from knowing her Lord, lives to sustain her. And listen, the resurrection speaks. Jesus Christ is not a dead hero. He is your living Lord. Are you listening? Now, the resurrection also validates Christianity. It validates your faith. See, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Christianity just falls apart. It becomes like a myth or a legend like Islam or some other, quirky belief system. The Apostle Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:14-17, talking about the risen Lord. If he is still dead, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is empty, worthless, hopeless. And we apostles are all liars because we said that God raised Christ from the grave. And of course, that isn't true if the dead don't come back to life again. If they don't, then Christ is still dead. And you are very foolish to keep on trusting God to save you. And you are still under condemnation for your sins. That's the Living Bible. I like how it paraphrases those difficult to understand verses. I mean, Paul stakes everything on this one single event. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the linchpin. It is the validation that separates Christianity from all religions, philosophies, and myths. And this is crucial because Jesus himself predicted it. Matthew 16, verse 21, listen to this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. So if the resurrection didn't happen, Jesus is just another false prophet in a line of tens of thousands of false prophets who have walked the earth. But here's the thing. It did happen. And there are eyewitness accounts to confirm it. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8, lists the risen Lord's appearances to Peter, the 12, over 500 brothers at once, James, and Paul himself. And these weren't hallucinations. They're historical realities attested to by people who, now listen, went to their deaths proclaiming it. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright once made a very interesting observation that the rapid spread of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire only makes sense if the tomb was truly empty. This validation It extends to the entire Christian life. The Old Testament prophecies, like this one, is Psalm 16, verse 10. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. And this one, Isaiah 53, 10 to 12. But it was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and fill him with grief. However, when his soul was made an offering, when his soul has been made an offering for sin, then he shall have a multitude of children, many heirs. He shall live again, and God's program shall prosper in his hands. And when he sees all that is accomplished by the anguish of his soul, he shall be satisfied. And because of what he has experienced, my righteous servant will make many to be counted righteous before God, for he shall bear all their sins. Therefore, I will give him the honors of one who is mighty and great, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was counted as a sinner, and he bore the sins of many, and he pled with God for sinners. That's the Living Bible. There, listen, there are literally dozens of prophecies like this, and they're all tied together. And without the resurrection, forgiveness of sins is a fantasy, and with it, Christianity stands unassailable. Your faith, my friend, is not blind. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead offers evidence. I mean, just think about all the transformed lives. The disciples, once cowering in fear behind locked doors, became a vast army proclaiming they're seeing the risen Lord. And how about Peter, poor guy, who denied Jesus three times? He stood up and preached to thousands. He said, we are all witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead, Acts 2:32. Look, if Christianity were some kind of hoax, why die for it? The resurrection validates our worship, our ethics, our mission. It shouts, this is true. You can bet your life on it. In times of doubt, and there will be times of doubt, please remember this. The empty tomb authenticates every promise in Scripture. The resurrection speaks validation. Are you listening? Now, the resurrection also guarantees the redemption of your soul. Our Lord's resurrection isn't just about Jesus' victory. Of course, it's about that. Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But it's also, his resurrection is also the ironclad guarantee of our soul's redemption. Now listen to Romans 4:25. Again, so I'll read it from the Living Bible because I have it open to that. He died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. I like that verse. I like it so much I'm going to read it again. Romans 4:25, he died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. We sinners are being made right with God. That's our justification. That's what that's all about. Our justification is sealed by the resurrection. It is God's amen to the cross, proving that the payment for sin has been accepted. Paul wrote that sin's wage is death, but Jesus paid it fully. His resurrection shows death couldn't hold him because he was sinless. 1 Peter 1:3, it is such a powerful verse. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This new birth redeems our soul from any claim Satan may have had on them, offering us forgiveness and renewal. Look, the Bible overflows with this assurance. Ephesians 1:18-20, here's a good example. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people. That's kind of neat. You are part of our Lord's inheritance and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Look, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that burst open the tomb, redeems us. Do you remember Jesus was crucified alongside two thieves, the repentant thief? Remember what Jesus told him, Luke 23:43? Today, you will be with me in paradise. That thief's soul was redeemed in an instant, foreshadowing the resurrection's guarantee for all believers. This amazing redemption, transforms daily life for all of us because it frees us from the chains of guilt and shame. When it comes to the transformative power of the resurrection, there's no fine print, just a very, very simple guarantee. Colossians 2:13-14. You were dead in sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. And then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments, which you have not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. Yes, that's Colossians 2:13-14 from the Living Bible. The resurrection speaks redemption. Are you listening? Now, the resurrection is also the foundation for the hope of life beyond this life. Isn't it good to know that this life is not all there is? That there is more? That the grave is not the end? The resurrection anchors our hope for eternity. Death isn't the end. Death is a doorway. Our Lord made this promise in John 11:25-26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Good question. Do you? He spoke this to Martha. Martha heard Jesus say this and saw it literally fulfilled before her eyes when Jesus raised her brother Lazarus back to life. Kind of a little sneak preview of his own resurrection and ours. You know, this hope that we share, you and I mean, it's absolutely foundational. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22 says it, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. As first fruits, Jesus' own resurrection guarantees the harvest to come, our eternal life. Without the resurrection, we are left with grief and misery. But with it, everything changes. This essential foundation keeps us going in the midst of trials. You know, families who've lost loved ones in the faith, they cling to it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, the hymn writer wrote. All around us, there are people that are scared to death of death, full of fear. But the resurrection offers us and them unshakable hope. It speaks loudly. Life beyond the grave is real. Are you listening? Look, the resurrection speaks volumes of a living Lord walking with us, validating our faith, guaranteeing our redemption, and founding our eternal hope. The resurrection is not a distant, barely audible echo, but a present clarion call to action. I pray if you're a believer, maybe you've grown a little tired in your walk of faith. Maybe you're not as excited about being a believer as you once were. I pray that what the resurrection has to say reignites your passion, flames that little burning ember into a raging fire in your soul. Share this message with others and live in the power of the resurrection. Well, all right, that's it for our very special Sunday edition of the Panic Podcast. Look, we'll be back again all week long with more podcasts, so have a great rest of the day today. I hope you all had a great Easter services in your churches, and be a blessing to people, would you? Be a blessing to people. Whatever you're doing today, be a blessing. God bless you, and we'll talk again real soon.